We're going to read
the
first.
Just remember, I didn't say that, all right?
1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless while living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As I've told you, there is a lot of oppression occurring to the church. People are being treated poorly. People are having their houses and their property taken away from them. They're even being put to death. They're experiencing a lot of suffering, a lot of hurt. The hurt that hurts most in life is, well, the hurts that don't leave a bruise. They don't leave a mark on the outside of us, but they have brokenness, bruised us deeply on the inside. Who hasn't experienced abandonment or rejection or unfaithfulness in their life? And those are the real hurts. Those are the hurts that are hard to heal. And they hurt deep enough inside of us that, well, I think our very human way of dealing with those hurts is that we try to hide from them. It's called hurtful hiding. Are we practicing hurtful hiding? You'll know you're practicing hurtful hiding because you keep seeing the same dandelion in your mind, heart, and soul. Just like mowing the lawn, what we do with that dandelion is we come along, oh, I can see the yellow flower on it. I'm going to just get rid of that. And we keep cutting off what's above the surface, yet it keeps growing back. Keep showing up. And have you noticed that it shows up at just the wrong time? Finally, what we have to do is, well, we got to get out a spade or a shovel, and we got to dig out the root of that dandelion. Because if you go after the root, after the tap root of the weed, you won't have a weed there anymore. Yet the deep hurts of our life are a lot of work. They're very painful to deal with. It takes a lot of emotional, spiritual work for us to get in there and dig those out, so that we can continue to grow into the creation, the new creation that God created us to enjoy. It's hard to put off our old nature and put on and enjoy our new nature in Jesus Christ when there's a lot of weeds in the grass. Peter has some great things to say about how to deal with our hurtful hiding. How we locate our hurts, and then how do we release those hurts? It begins by identifying the offender that we're dealing with. Who has hurt us, and how have we been hurt emotionally? Peter says this, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude that he had. Now, we know what that attitude is. That attitude is forgiveness. We're to have the same forgiving attitude that Jesus had. And what a word to say to people that are being oppressed and beaten up and thrown into jail and even murdered. Peter's not saying that any of that is all right and good, just the opposite. Yet in many cases, there's really nothing they can do about it. The best they can do is to try to stay off the radar screen. Try to go about their business in everyday life without drawing attention to themselves. And so Peter says, you know, don't be surprised that you're going to suffer in this world because Jesus suffered. It's part of living in this original sin-affected world. It's one of the problems of hanging around with a bunch of other sinful people. And we sin too, don't we? And that brings suffering upon us. And we know Jesus truly suffered. We have the historical reality of that, and we'll look at that closer as we make our way to Easter. He suffered on the cross a criminal's death, and he did die. And he was put in a tomb, and he did resurrect. And so we know that there can be resurrection from the dead circumstances and relationships of our life. And our death is a suffering. It hurts. It hurts deep inside of us. But we're to have the character, the attitude, the mindset of Jesus. How did he respond to those that hurt him? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. It's interesting, many times the people that hurt us, what we have to ask is a question we don't really want to ask. We have a hard time getting beyond the idea that, well, I don't deserve this. They're evil, they're bad. And all of that is true. But the question of forgiveness that we have to raise is, if they're hurting me in this way, I wonder who hurt them. Who hurt them so badly that they would treat me this way? And asking that question allows us to access our forgiveness of that person. Oh, we are not forgiving them for what they did. Because what they did was wrong and bad and perhaps even evil. But we extend forgiveness to them because, well, we know they hurt too. Now, the truth is that they don't deserve forgiveness. Anyone who really hurts us especially those hurts that are undeserved. They don't deserve forgiveness, but none of us do. None of us deserve forgiveness. And we're only forgiven because of the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the love of God. And it's not as though God looks past our brokenness and our sinfulness and the things that we need to be forgiven for. He sees us for who we are and understands that we are broken sinners. And instead of giving us judgment, he gives us grace. Jesus bought that for us when he died on the cross for our sins. And extending forgiveness to someone else is going to cost you. It might cost you dearly, deeply. Yet forgiveness is just what we need. Forgiveness is what they need. Now, how do we know that we've truly forgiven someone? Oh, we know that we haven't forgiven them. We know that because we've been taking score. Haven't we? We've been keeping score. This and this and that. Oh, we've detailed it profoundly. How do we know that we're not keeping score anymore? That we're loving them along the lines of 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, keep short accounts. Don't hold things against people. Well, one way you know is because you know that you deserve forgiveness. Oh, wait, we don't deserve forgiveness. Oh, we do in Jesus Christ. He's imparted that to us as his children. He wants to forgive us for our sins. And that becomes the baseline in which we move forward in life. If God has forgiven us, then we're compelled to forgive other people. Well, you just don't know how they've hurt me. Well, I understand how we've hurt God. How our sinfulness is an affront to Jesus. And yet he's forgiven us. A second aspect of that is to realize you're gonna need some more forgiveness along the way, right? That's one of the great things about being married and having children. Always the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, right? You're gonna need it up ahead. This is how Paul put it in Romans. You know, I have the desire that I would not sin any longer, yet I don't have the ability to stop myself from sinning. And yes, the more we put off the old and put on the new, the more we yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit, we will improve. We will get better. But we're not perfect till we die and we're out of here. We're still living in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and we're imperfect ourselves. The third thing is that nothing stops the hurting better than forgiveness. And I know how those deep hurts work. You have a deep hurt because you keep playing it over and over again in your mind, don't you? And every time you repeat that event in your mind, it brings up the same old emotions, and then we move and act in the same way. For some of us, that hurt is very hidden. It's not aware. We're not aware of what it is. Yet it keeps sprouting up all the times, and it sprouts out at the worst possible moments in life. What stops the hurting is to truly forgive that person, because you're not replaying it in your mind anymore. You're making a decision. I am not going to think about that any longer. Therefore, I'm going to feel the feelings of forgiveness and not hate and not getting even. Again, the scriptures are very plain here. If you don't extend forgiveness, what's going to take up residency in your heart, mind, and soul is a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. And I know what happens when people are bitter. It's like burning down your house to get rid of the mice. And after we've burnt down a few houses, maybe we're willing to look a little bit at what our issues are and look for a better way to move forward in life. Number two, it really is about keeping our eyes upon Jesus. Listen to what Peter says. As a result, do not live the rest the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. There we go. The will of God. Here's a great prayer. Someone has hurt us deeply. Do we want to pray for the will of God? No, we just want to get even. We want them to suffer like we've suffered. We want the blessings of life to just go right around that person. They don't deserve it. But that's not the way we live anymore. We're not living according to our evil human desires, but rather we ask for the will of God. It's the Lord's Prayer. Do we really pray that what happens in heaven will happen here on earth? That the healing and wholeness that exists in heaven would actually visit upon this person? That the Holy Spirit would visit them? And we do in our best moments pray for them when we see them, and it's a prayer like this. Get them, Holy Spirit, get them. We know we've experienced forgiveness when we extend that forgiveness to others. And the only way we can really do that is to keep our eyes focused on God, to keep our eyes on Him. And here's what happens. God takes the minuses in our life, and it may have been a very big minus. It took a pretty big hunk of us. And so it's a strong minus. And what Jesus is in the business of doing is He takes the minuses of our life and He turns them into a cross. He takes the minuses and He turns them into a positive, an add-in to our life. Now, I know the truth. We like to hold on to our hurts. And if they're deep enough and they occurred early enough in life, we hold on to them because that feels like normal to us. Even though it's really not average, it's not normal. But we hold on to it so that we can hide behind it. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what do we really want in life? Do we Do we want despair and depression and anxiety and stress? Sure. Her husband, Kurt, just passed away, so let's pray for the family. Lord God, we lift Ann to you. Grant the granddaughters. I ask, Lord, that you would be with them in this moment of grief and loss. Help them, Lord, to feel supported by you, by us. Lord, as we just talked about, resurrection comes after death. And Father, I'm thankful that we know where Kurt is in this moment in a blink of an eye. That today is his day that you're calling him home. Lord, help the next several hours, the next day or two to Lord, just help that family to know that in their grief and loss, their lives, Kurt's life is in your hands, and there's no better hands to be in than yours. Lord, we're thankful that you turn the dead end of death into a doorway of resurrection. And we claim that, and Lord, help us and that family to hold on to that over the next days and weeks. And so we pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. So it is a choice. Life is a daily choice of where we will remain focused. Are we going to focus on them? Are we going to focus on the hurt? Are we going to focus on how much we've lost? Or are we offering that up to God that he might turn a plus into that minus? He might turn that minus into a cross. And it is good for us that God does that. It is the very best that God can do for us. Listen to what Paul says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In hope. And do we want to abound in hope, or do we want to abound in the stress and the worry, the depression, the dejection that we feel? First, we have to extend forgiveness. Second, we very much need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because we extend forgiveness, but then we want to take it back, don't we? And then finally, we need to remind ourselves that we're not alone in this, that we have others around us to encourage us, hold us up, and help us. Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. Why do we need deep love? We need it from other people because we got deep hurts. We have deep loss. The only thing that counters that deep loss is deep love. Offer up hospitality to one another. Hospitality is more than just being welcoming. It's the whole idea that you're going to look more at the interests of others than you do your own, and you display that in your home. I love what Randy Free says. He says, you know you're practicing hospitality when you give someone refrigerator privileges at your home. Right? Well, I'm thirsty. Well, if you're thirsty, go to my refrigerator and get something to drink. Well, I'm hungry. Then make yourself a sandwich. Well, that's a close friend, isn't it? Yeah. It's a deep, loving, hospitable relationship. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Serve others. Something great happens to us when we serve others. I got a little reminder of that. I had a flight to Orlando, and I lucked out, and I had a good seat. And then they called me up to the podium right before the flight, and I thought, oh, Jesus, you're awesome. I'm going to first class. And I not only had that smile, I had that walk of privilege. Now, I had a privilege that I wasn't planning on. You know, it's not going to go as you think it is when the attendant starts by, I'm really sorry to have to tell you this. No. And it was a great thing. A family through the Wish Foundation was flying down to Disney World, and they just needed my seat to do that. Actually, four of us. They needed a whole row because of the disability of the child. And so one of the other guys was next to me, and the lady said, so do you want the very last row in the plane or the next to the last row in the plane? And we both, without hesitation, said next to the last row, because the last row, the seats don't recline at all. Luckily, she looked at me first and said, would you like an aisle or a window? Let's see, that close to the lavatory's window. Now, they were very kind. They didn't put anyone between us, but we were in the back. And I could tell the flight attendant wasn't too sure how we were going to take that. And I said, you know, what a great thing. I wasn't planning on that, but what a privilege, right? What an opportunity. In fact, this would be the real hospitable love that Peter's talking about. Loving someone, giving up your premium seat on the aisle, by the way, and giving that up for someone you don't know and you'll probably never meet on this earth. Wow. And we could have sat in the back of the plane and moaned. Or the guy next to me, we were having a great time, great conversation. See, it's hospitable love. It's deep love. It's forgiving love. Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together where we can be hospitable and love one another deeply. We're loving God and we're loving one another. And yeah, days are challenging. But we are what? Not as some people are doing. We're not giving up, neglecting that. No, we are encouraging one another with real loving hospitality. Why? Because we all need that encouragement. We need encouragement from God, and we need encouragement from one another. Why? Because some days the news at least starts out bad. It surprises us. How do you get encouraged? I think it's pretty easy around here. Number one, just keep showing up to worship. One of my goals as you come into worship is to encourage and inspire you. I know you come in many weeks, your emotional, spiritual tank is running on fumes. I want to fill you up and push you back out there and say, you can do it another week. And then you go to your small group in the middle of the week on a hump day when you're at least a quarter low, if not three quarters low, and you go there and they love you up and they push you out the door and say, you can make it to Sunday. Another great way to be encouraged, and here Peter has a great insight, find your place in service. Service pushes you out of your own circle in a very good way. And when we serve, it's good for them and it's good for us. I had a little different perspective and attitude as I flew bouncing along that close to the lavatories in the back of the plane. Service. Service to those that you know, service to those that you don't know, all in the name of God. And Peter says, you know, it's easy to do this when everything's going easy. But when you're suffering, when you've been treated unjustly, when someone has picked out you and come after you in life, oh, those hurt deep, deep hurts. And the best way to stop the hurt is by extending forgiveness. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, minister to us this morning. Lord, we know some of our hurts, but we perhaps don't know all of the hurts. In fact, you remind us in the Psalms that we're moving along in a deep relationship with you when the Holy Spirit reveals to us our secret sins, and I'd add to that our hidden hurts. Father, move us along in putting off that old nature, and we have to know it to put it off. Lord, help us to put on the new nature that you have in store for each and every one of us. That, Lord, we would know a wholeness and a meaning and a purpose that we so desperately need, and we've been feeling around for it for a long time in our life. Lord, give us that gift today that we might serve others lovingly through it. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.